Sometimes, although certainly not always, the ward will contribute to that decision-making process. This is unique to much of the responsibilities of serving as a guardian, where most of the time the ward is more likely to be hands-off. The guardian takes care of day-to-day financial matters, medical decisions, investment and management issues without much input from the ward. But where the ward's opinion and wishes are potentially so important, it is equally as important to make sure the ward is protected as possible. So I think you'll find that that's a theme as we go through this material. How do we protect the ward? And how do we make sure that the ward's wishes, if they're capable of expressing them, are honored? So during this presentation, we'll look at reasons why the ward might want or need to get divorced, Texas common law authority for divorces initiated or prosecuted by a guardian, the proper jurisdiction for a divorce action where a guardianship is involved, the statutory authority for guardian-initiated divorces in other states, ways to protect the ward through this process, and whether a person is incapable of entering into a marriage just because they are under a guardianship. As the aged population increases, it is more and more likely that persons under guardianship will be involved in a divorce action, or that persons filing for divorce will need a guardianship. The baby boomers, who were born between 1946 and 1964, are the driving force behind this silver tsunami that we've heard so much about. This group, who are now ages 55 to 73, have the highest divorce rate compared to other generations. The gray divorce rate between 55 to 64-year-olds has doubled over the last two decades, and the rate for those over age 65 has tripled. This means that you are more likely to see divorces intermingled with guardianships in your office. I want to start out with just a little bit of terminology. It's really basic, but I feel like it's a good building block. The Texas Estates Code defines an incapacitated person as an adult who, because of a physical or mental condition, is substantially unable to provide food, clothing, or shelter for himself or herself, care for the person's own physical health, or manage the person's own financial affairs. So, of course, there must be a finding of incapacity in order for a person to be placed under a guardianship, and it follows, obviously, that a ward, by definition, is an incapacitated person. I found it interesting that the Family Code does not contain a definition of an incapacitated person. There are a few areas, obviously, where guardianship law under the Estates Code and divorce law under the Family Code intersect, but nowhere does the Family Code contain a definition of an incapacitated person. A person is presumed to be mentally competent until found otherwise. I'm sure you've seen this in your office. This comes as a surprise to parents of to parents who are seeking guardianship of their severely disabled children, or it comes as a surprise to adult children who are seeking guardianship for a declining parent. They come in and they say, well, my doctor wrote this letter on letterhead that says, my mom can't make financial decisions anymore. That means I'm her guardian, right? Not quite. We've got a few steps to go through between here and there. We know that incapacity is a legal determination, of which medical evidence is an important part, but a mere diagnosis does not equal incapacity. This all is important because in a guardianship proceeding, because any other proceeding, such as a divorce, must be told until there is a finding of incapacity. So why might a ward want to get divorced, or why might a guardian want to obtain a divorce on behalf of the ward? For persons with capacity, when we're talking about divorce, the reasons are limitless. From mere regret, Britney Spears, to leaving a violent relationship, there are endless reasons to end a marriage. I should have asked some family law friends for the best reasons why they have seen people want to file for divorce, but I failed to do that. I will do that and get back to you on that Facebook page that Bryn referenced. But why would a ward want to get divorced? For example, or why might a guardian wish for a ward to divorce? There is one area where this might be a ward-based decision. The ward may have the capacity to express a desire to divorce, even if he or she does not have the capacity to consent to a divorce. For example, I have been appointed as guardian ad litem on more than one occasion to investigate whether or not a ward should be allowed to marry. This type of decision-making tracks with the decision to divorce. Both affect a sweeping change that affect all kinds of rights. In each case, the ward lived in a group home and had some functionality, although still needed guardianship. The same procedure works in reverse. A ward living in a group home could express a wish to get divorced. In some older cases, the courts have denied guardians the ability to file for a divorce because the, quote, decision to dissolve a marriage was so strictly personal that only the parties to the marriage should decide, meaning a guardian couldn't make that decision on behalf of the ward.